gonna keep going. Ah, it's not exciting. Well, praise God. That thing fell completely apart. Okay, it was working this morning. Okay. Praise the Lord. Well, I hope I can make it with this Bible sliding off. Well, let's get with it now. We're gonna fight with Satan tonight. You ready to fight with Satan? Because you're going to want to get distracted. You're going to go to sleep. You're going to have an excuse to leave. I mean, the devil don't want you to listen to anything that's going to help you. Okay, so you're going to have to draw from God and you're going to have to fight. That's not going to be tall enough. You're going to have to fight to capture all this tonight. Because I got a long sermon tonight. I'll tell you ahead of time. Some of you are going, But it's going to deal with one of the main things that causes people to be defeated by Satan. It's going to deal with one of the main things, the reason why we are failures a lot in this life. Most people fail in this life. This life is full of failures, which we all have been a part of. We are driven by certain things that causes us to get sidetracked. Let's pray. Ask God to guide us tonight. Father, in Jesus' name, we pray that you'll be the master of these next few moments. That you, Lord, will teach, that you will share your heart with us, that you will remove every distraction, every emotional distraction, every other type of distraction in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, I think we got something going here. Okay, man, we got all kinds of provisions. Come on up here. Yeah, I appreciate that. Using your mind. We're fighting. Important? I don't know how. But hey, whatever. Okay, listen. You've got wants and you've got needs and you've got desires, don't you? And this is the greatest problem we face in this life is your desires, your wants and your needs. The Bible tells us that they steal the word of God from us. It says that in Luke, where it talks about the sower that goes out and sows the seed. It says, and the seed represents God being given in your mind, that your desires for other things will distract you and cause the word not to even take root in you. And this is what I see on a continuous basis. Great people come through here. We are in the process of forming an army of the greatest warriors that's ever lived since 2,000 years ago. I kid you not. There's no one on the face of the earth that's going to be any greater equipped, any more serious, any more a warrior. And I say a warrior, I've heard a Christian say, a warrior? What about a lover? Christians are lovers and Satan's people are warriors. Because that's war. A person who fights is a warrior, right? Well, that's the problem. Too many Satan's people are warriors and we are too much of a lovers. We need to be warriors. It takes two sides to fight. And we've got to be tough. Most people are cowards. Most people are afraid. Oh, even guys that go out on the streets and fight are chickens. Sometimes we're fighting to try to do something about the fear inside of them. How many of you guys have ever been in a fight through fear? Yeah, it happens, doesn't it, David? You're afraid, but you got to push yourself in there anyway to prove yourself. And most people don't even have the guts to face real pain. When I was out in the streets and fought, I got in maybe somewhere between 40 and 60 fights, and I'm not proud of it. But I won them all. Okay? Because I could take the pain. Okay? Some guy hit me in the head. He would not keep me from keeping my eye right on him. He hit me, and he hit me, and I'd come right in there. He'd be down. But if I hit him, I could tell they got a little flinchy. Or they got a little wild. Because they were scared. They came in like this. But I'd stand there, and I look right straight down the eye, and then no matter if I got hit, my nose got bleeding, my eyes got cut, I'd be right there to throw straight punches, knees, heads, or whatever it took. Boom! Okay? Now we got to do this spiritually. That's how you win, is don't get distracted by your pain, by this feeling that you have. You get a desire, and you don't feed that desire, you feel a kind of a pain. I call it pain. It's a discomforting feeling. Why don't you all stop smoking? Some of you, this, because because when you stop, you can't stand it, can you? It drives you up a tree, doesn't it? You feel pain. Have you ever heard this thing, no pain, no gain? Why do you sometimes, you know, even when you have a sexual urge and you don't feel it, don't you feel kind of, gotta have some? Right? Drives you up a tree, doesn't it? But see, people's got real courage. People are really strong, can control their desires. Why do people take drugs? They get worried, they get frustrated, they get lonely, they get empty, they get all these feelings. They wanna feel high, they got this driving sensations inside. So finally they give in, even though most people really know it's not good for you. Most people really know that. But they do it anyway. Why? Because this world is filled with weaklings. People are weak. They can't handle life. Listen, we are putting together a team that can handle it. I'm not saying everybody hears that way yet. You know, so if someone fails, don't come back and say, yeah, our people fail. Hey, listen, the final brigade, the final battalion that we put together that's going to go out in this world and turn this world upside down, they're going to be people that can take whatever the devil dishes out. And whatever your flesh can dish out, you can take it. You know, how many's ever fasted 30 days? It's pretty hard. I remember fasting 30 days. You know, I used to fast every week. I'm not bragging about it. I'm just saying I was such a weakling, I had to go through a hard course to learn. God had to shake me up. You go 30 days without eating, just drinking water, and your stomach feels like it's going to eat you. You know what? You've heard of stomach growls. You take a 30-day starved stomach, and you'll think it's thundering. You know, you get around people and say, hey, it's going to rain. You know, your stomach's sitting there saying, I'm going to eat you, boy. But you do that, the Bible says, to humble that old soul and flesh. You get strong so you can take it. Now, listen, we're going to talk about these desires that cause you to be a weakling. You can't take it. You got to respond to these desires. How many's ever got angry inside and did something you wish you wouldn't have? I've been there. Because you can't take that pain, that drive, that sensation driving you to, finally you just give in to it. God wants us to walk in control. Discipline. What's the difference between people in war that make it and don't make it? Those who are well disciplined usually do better. What's the difference between a Green Beret or a Ranger or a Navy SEAL or Delaforce compared to an average private? A private has no discipline. You know, they can't trust him. They can't depend on him because he desires. He might not be on guard duty that night. You see? Whereas someone that's got courage and is well-trained and well-disciplined, got their desires and emotions under control, they'll be there. You can count on them. Amen? So let's talk about it tonight. Now, in James 1:14, it says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own desires and he's enticed. Okay? Then when the desire hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin bringeth forth death, or defeat, failure. Okay, so we can be tempted when our desires are drawn away. Drawn away from what? Drawn away from God. When our desires are not all on God, 100%, we get our desires off on other things, then the devil can tempt us and entice us and draw us away. And it says, then we sin or we commit hurtful acts or we fail, and then we have spiritual death, total life of failure, a prison. Even nice, good people live in prison. And you know a nice person that works all the time, that's just driven to work all the time, and that's all they ever do in their life? See, even good people can be in a prison. A money prison. There's all kinds of prisons we live in. Amen? But it becomes from our desires. Our desires. Now in James 4:2, it says, you lust or you desire, but you don't get it. You lust after things, but you don't have anything. You kill and you desire to have, and you cannot get it. You know, no one really ever, these desires cannot be satisfied. You know, how many started out with little desires and end up with big desires? Yeah. It goes on and on and on. It's no satisfaction. There's temporary satisfaction, but then you want more. You can't find the end of it. It drives you all your life. You don't have your life in your own hands. Your life is in the hands of your flesh, your desires. Most people make decisions where they work, who they marry, where they go to school, if they go to school, due to desires. Well, they desire to have money, so they quit school. They don't make a logical decision, they just do it. Desire to have a woman, so they get her pregnant, and then they're stuck with her. Or she's stuck with him, you see. Because you can't control themselves, you see. All kinds of reasons. People molest little kids. Why? Because they get a desire. They know better than that. Do they really want to ruin a little kid's life? Hey, I've counseled with ladies that grew up molested. It damages their minds. It hurts them deeply. They hardly ever get over it. You see, I've had a lot of women cry. Some men, too, that's been molested. Most of them women. They cry. They feel so dirty, and they feel so this, and they feel so that. And their lives are ruined because somebody couldn't control their desire for sex. They're so manly. Okay, I gotta take a little 5-year-old. What's wrong? Is that a bad person? Not necessarily. But they're driven by their desires. They don't have control of themselves. You see? They say, well, I just do what I want to do. Not really. You're being controlled by something inside. Because that's not logical. It's not proud. Would you like to stand up in front of your school class, or you want to stand up in front of your workplace and say, hey, I'm a molester of kids? How many feel proud to say that? How many would not feel proud to say that? But people do it. What do they do it for? They're controlled by their desires. When you get freed from that, amen? In 2 Peter 2:15, it talks about this again. Here it says that people forsake the right way and they go astray. And they said these people, in verse 17, these people are wells without any water. They're not worth a thing in life. People who are controlled by their desires are not worth anything because you can't count on them. They're like, how'd I go to a well one day and there's no water in it? So that's why the Bible uses it as an example. They're like wells without water, clouds that are carried around, you know, just with the wind. And it says darkness is reserved for them forever. What does it mean, a cloud is... You know, have you ever, a farmer, you're kind of a semi-farmer, aren't you? And you're looking for the rain to come, but the wind blows it on past you. It's disappointing, isn't it? That's how people are. You can't count on them. Can't count on people because you got all these desires. Oh, I don't want to work today. You depend on them to work. You got it all planned out from the work, but they having a bad day and they can't work today. The world's full of it, isn't it? You know? I used to be like that. Oh, man, I can't work today. I just don't feel like it. Hey, listen, once I started getting turned on to Christ, I worked every day I was supposed to. Every day I was supposed to, I worked and I gave them my best. I didn't give them my best because they paid me good. I gave them my best because I wanted to be the best. I didn't want to be a punk. Come on in and say, man, I'm making minimum wage, man. I ain't going to give them my best. Then you get used to being a nobody. It used to be down at the bottom. No, you pay me whatever we can make an agreement on, but I'm going to give you my best if I'm making $10 an hour or $4 an hour. I'm going to be there so I can count on myself. You can't count on people. They might get their feelings hurt. You see, is that the kind of person you want to be? A wimp? It's just a social punk? Someone nobody can count on? Just griping and complaining and everything controlling your life. But success, that's how most people are. Well, I got a good reason to be a failure. Well, boy, I hope it's a good enough reason. You know what I mean? You know what people do? Well, I had a good reason to do this. I had a good reason to do that. I got my feelings hurt. No people are not treating me right. I'm hungry. I'm sleepy. Boy, great. Man, let's let these things rule your life. How about the strong people that says, I will be successful. I will determine myself to do something and I will do it because I'm in control of myself through Christ. Wouldn't you rather be that? Why has some people got bigger spare tires than others? Uh-oh. Sometimes it's genetic. I'll let you off the hook. Sometimes it's a love for pies and cakes. A lot of times a lack of discipline. He said, well, man, yeah, man, big. I can get fat too. I mean, I got out of shape, brother. I got out of shape, man. I was weak. Couldn't really do anything, you know? And I'd work and drag, and my stomach was getting bigger, my arms were getting smaller. You know what I mean? My arms got down about 13 inches, my stomach got up to 40. Why? Because I was too lazy to run, work out, and discipline my appetite. You want to be that way? No, I don't want to be that. I feel good right now. Because I go out another night, run about 6 miles, do that most every night, pump those weights, discipline those pies and cakes. You know, those malts. Come by Dairy Queen. Oh, I'd like to have a Misty, Mr. Misty. I'd like to have one of those nice little, what do you call them, blizzards. How many like blizzards? Ooh, I love blizzards. And when I go to Furs, and I go by that one little place that's got all those beautiful, you know what I'm talking about. Whipped cream upon pie. Can you say no? Yeah, you say no all the way to the counter, paying for it, don't you? No, I shouldn't do this. No, I shouldn't do this. No, I shouldn't do this. A lack of discipline, you see. But people who are great are people who have discipline in their life. You can tell by looking at them. You can tell how they act and what they do. Amen? Which one are you going to be? But here you're talking about all these people aren't worth anything. Because why? Because it goes on to say, I can read this thing. I lost my little glasses and I can't read very good. He says in verse 18, for when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the desires of their flesh, and they become wanting. They want everything. They were once clean, but now they're failures. Because the desires lead them to failure. Then we look at in verse John, chapter 2:15. Here it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of God is not in him. For all that's in the world is a lust of the flesh, that means desires of the flesh, desires of life, desires of the eyes, pride of life. It's not of the Father, but of the world. And the world's going to pass away. And all the desires are going to pass away. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Some of you are all tied up in the world. Well, I go down to these honky-tonks. I don't do anything. I've heard that back since I used that line. You know what I mean? God finally freed me from the junk. I mean, I used to go in there too. Yeah, I know. Dance with your best friend's girlfriend, but they dance with your best girl because you got all this lust inside of you. When he's not looking, you run your hands up her neck. I know, got me in trouble. You know, drinking, whatever you're going to do. Then you get freed and you go, God, you know, you're so much a failure. You're fighting with the old woman all the time. I got tired of fighting with my wife. Not this one. We don't fight. We just love each other, right? But I used to fight. Man, my wife and I were good, man. Pop bottles, bam. Pictures, bam. Cuss, fight. She was stronger than me. She knocked me out once. Never teach a woman karate. I learned that a long time ago. She went, whomp! And I went, ooh, I went down. I got tired of that. I got tired of the junk. I got tired of the fighting. I got tired of the yelling. I got tired of the cussing. I got tired of the depression. Got tired of just feeling rotten most of the time. Have any of you ever been there? So I got free from the honky-tonks. But when I got out of it back in, and I got up to God and started doing some good, guess what happened? The desires started pulling me back. Well, I'm going to go down and shoot a little pool at the honky-tonk. I'm not going to drink anything. I'm not going to look at the women. I'm just better not look at the men either. Play some pool. That's all I'm going to do, man. Because I need some fellowship. I need to do something. Oh, yeah. People tell me that, I laugh at them. Because you give them a few weeks, a month, they're going to be back on either alcohol, crack, cocaine, something. Eventually, they're going to be back, and someone else is dead. He said, how do you know? Hey, I've just been a Christian about 20-some years. I know. And I've been a sinner the rest of the time. I know. Some of you out there, do you know? Della, you know, don't you? You're an old boozer. You know. Ray, Pat, you know. It's all true, isn't it? Listen, desires will drag you back in the world. Right here, the Bible says that if you love the world and the things in the world, you're going to be a loser. Period. Well, my buddies are out there on the CB, man. You know? Well, I got to run down. You're going to make a break. God ain't going to have you. Come on. Can't I be a half Christian? Nope. God says you got to be all the way. He'll give you a little time. But he's not looking for penny-ante Christians. He's not looking. You know what he's going to do with lukewarm Christians? That's right. He's going to spit. How many of you ever seen people go? You go, you get sick in your stomach. Well, you're going to get real sick in your stomach because God's going to go. He says that in Revelation. He's going to spit them out of his mouth. Why is God going to spit Christians out of his mouth? Now, of course, we're not in his mouth, right? That's symbolic. But it don't sound good to me. Whatever way he's going to do it, he's going to kick them out of his troops. Kick him out of his church. Kick him out of his heaven, his kingdom, before that great battle comes. We're heading for a battle with the Antichrist. We're being groomed for the greatest battle that ever was. Blood is going to run as deep as horses' necks in this battle, the Bible says. Think about it. This is what the Bible says. It's been right all the rest of the times. I believe it. There's going to be such a spiritual battle, and there's going to be a physical battle, and there's going to be a war that blood is going to run as deep as horses' necks. This world is in for tribulation. Payment day is coming. And God is preparing his prize fighters for that final moment. And they're going to be the best. And they're not going to fall in all that. They're going to remain firm. They're going to remain peaceful. They're going to have their integrity. They're not going to be corrupted by the problems of the world. You see? But the worldly people and the earthly people, people are all tied up in all these desires in the world. Guess what's going to happen to them? They're going to all crumble. They're going to be punks. They're going to be wimpies. The Bible says they run to the rocks and say, please, rocks, fall on me, kill me. I'm going to commit suicide. I can't take the pressure. That's what the Bible says. You say, yeah, but I know some tough guys down in the world. They're going to be crybabies. Get your diaper ready. Big old tough guys, scars on them. They're going to go wimpy crying. They can't take the pressure because more pressure will be put on this world than it's ever been put on before. And if you're not a 100%er, then you're going to lose. Because God only wants the best out there fighting. If you got all these desires that's getting you back into worldly things, money desires. Well, money, 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 money. Hey, listen, give me $1 million. I won't turn it down. But I wouldn't trade one of my values for money. I don't care if you give me $1 billion. It means nothing to me. If God wants to give me money to do this ministry, I'll take it. I won't turn it down, but I won't compromise one thing I believe in for all the money in the world. Or all the women in the world. Or anything else. The nice houses and cars. Whatever. These desires of the world. It says in the Bible, in James 4:4, that if you are a friend with the world, you're an enemy of God. If you're a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God. Make sure that's the right scripture. Yeah. Now listen, guys. It's very simple. You know, a lot of guys in the world don't want to consider themselves an enemy of God. They say, well, I'm not a Christian, but I'm not an enemy. How many of you would like to be an enemy of Arnold Schwarzenegger in the middle of a fight? Would you? Bruce Lee in the middle of a fight? What if Bruce Lee was in here right now? You know, Terry, he's in here and he says, okay, who's on my side? The whole church would be on your side, wouldn't it? Okay. you need your neck popped. Boom. But the Bible says that God considers people who are friends with the world that's run by their desires his personal enemy. Boy, I wouldn't want to be that. But see, we got all these desires that rule our life. We've got all these, we want this, we want that. And what are some of these desires? We're going to talk about it a little bit here. What are these desires that rule our life? It causes us to be controlled and get us in trouble. Now, young people, you got more troubles than the rest of them. Bible says so. The Bible says that young people's got more desires, more lust. 2 Timothy 2:22. He says, watch it, young people, because you're filled with it. You know why we're filled with it when we're young? Because we haven't lived long enough to learn better. We still think that we can do all these things and get by with it. Older people finally find out they can't. Now, listen. Galatians 5:24 says that if you're going to be Christ, you're going to belong to Him, you've got to crucify your lust. It's very clear. You've got to crucify your lust or your desires for all these things in life if you're going to belong to Christ. You don't belong to Christ if you don't crucify it. Now, what are some of these desires? Now, it's easy to say, well, I desire women, I desire men, if you're a woman or if you're a queer, either way. You both desire, you know. He said, I desire whiskey, I desire drugs, I desire this and that. That's not the basic problem. That's not the root to the problem. There are certain desires you have that everyone shares that leads to all these other kinds of desires that get you in trouble with the Lord. Here's some of the desires that get you in trouble. A desire to be valuable to someone. To be needed, to be important, to be liked, have people look up to you, people care about you. Doesn't that sound like something everyone has a desire for? That's not good. That's not put there by God. That's a trap. You see, to feel you need to be valuable to people. To need to be loved. It's a little bit different than valued. You can be valued by, you know, employees, friends, whatever. But they need to be loved. Most people have a need within them to be loved. How many say you have a need to be loved? How many don't have a need to be loved? How many's not here today? I got you now. Okay. But the Bible says that even if you have a need for that, it's not good. A desire for it. It'll get you in trouble. Need to be loved. What's some of the other needs we have? To be adequate. A need to be adequate. Everyone's trying to perform. So they feel adequate. They feel good about themselves. They go out for sports. They're the best pool hot shot in town. They're adequate with a woman. They can please any woman in town. Please a little man, any man in town. These all work in there. See, people feel adequate. And so we're all trying to find something. Some of you are experts at music. You try to excel in music. You try to excel in different things. You live in a fantasy world. So people think you're great. This need to be adequate to get you in trouble. A need to be safe, secure. Other needs. What do these needs lead to? What do these needs lead to? And that's just a few of the needs we have. If you have a need to feel important, you'll start putting other people down a lot of times. Because how do you make someone feel, how do you get superior to people? You start wanting to be superior to other people. You criticize them. The lower a person is, the more they criticize other people. You know, you don't find people real successful criticizing all the time. Everyone could find reasons to criticize. You know, some of you are great critics. You should go to college and get paid for it. You know what I mean? For these literary critics. Go to school and get paid for it. You know, don't just give it away free. If you want to be critical, I can be critical. Help me start right now. Can I have the next 30 minutes to be critical? I just have fun being critical, man. I'll start looking at you and pointing all your mistakes out. Hey, listen, anyone can do that. There's a plenty to be critical. It takes a disciplined mind. It takes a person who's got some self-restraint not to let themselves get into critical, being critical of everyone. But usually people who are critical are people who don't feel very valuable and they don't feel very adequate. They feel like a... What else? Rebellious. if you have a need to be valuable, to be important, if you have a need to be adequate, then you're going to be rebellious. You're not going to be able to follow leadership. You can't even be a leader because you're too rebellious to God to even use you as a leader. Why does feelings of not being valuable or not being adequate lead to people being rebellious? Because if you're following someone in your mind, it makes them better than you. It's really not true. A leader and a supporter are all part of the same team working together. But we feel like if we're not the hot shot of the crowd, then we're not adequate. So we can't stand to be under leadership. So we become rebellious. You see, if you feel unloved, then you're a lot of times you run after sex to find it. You can't find love in sex. When is the world going to ever learn that? Man alive, isn't this silly? 2 out of 3 marriages end in divorce. People run from one person to another. Well, you're talking about this in church? Yeah, it's on video. Because it's real. It's the truth. Why are they doing it? Because they don't feel loved. But you can't find love in sex. And they get in lousy relationships. I've counseled with women that have guys beating them. I've counseled with guys that got women beating them nowadays. And you know, why do you stick with them? Because I love him. Boy, I can see by your black eyes you love him so much. Why do you stick with her? Because I love her. She goes around. The guy goes deaf. So why do you love her? Huh? Why do people stick with bad relationships? Because they feel unloved and they're desperate. They'll stick with anybody to feel loved. This is not the way Christians should be. We should be above all this junk. You know, not ruled by our lack of being loved. I need no love. What? I need no one to love me. If I didn't have one single person to love me, it would not affect my life one bit. Now, some people in the world say that. Well, I don't need anybody to love me. I don't care. That's defense mechanism because then they go out and do the opposite. They act out their hostilities because they don't have love. Because, see, people who don't feel love, they get angry inside. They think something's wrong with them. They get frustrated. They get angry. They think they're unlovable. Even people who are very popular sometimes still have this inexhaustible need to feel loved. And you got a temper inside because they're not satisfied, you see. And so it drives them to bad behavior, drives them to emotional problems, premature relationships, causes them to start being selfish because they don't feel like nobody else loves them, they'll take care of themselves. They become bitter and resentful when they don't feel loved. They got a lot of hate in their heart a lot of times as the end result. But see, God didn't create me just to receive love from this world. God created me to give love. You see? Christians are givers, not receivers. Basically. Amen? You don't go around needful. You go around meeting needs. You already feel love. I only really need love from one. And that person does not live in this earth. God loves me, and that's all I need. Now I'm free. I'm not in here negotiating relationships. I'll be your friend, you'll be mine. Will you like me? If you like me, I like you. No, I don't care if you like me or not, man. Maybe I can help you. Can we get together, man? If you don't like me, fine. Okay, just listen to me anyway. You know? But if I was a preacher who was worried about what you thought, you think I'd be preaching like this? You know what I mean? I'd be getting up here. I wouldn't be wearing my hair down in a ponytail. I'd put my hair back up. I'd get my suit on. And I'd say, "We are, dearly beloved, we are gathered here today." And I'd try to sound very intellectual. And I'd kiss where I shouldn't kiss. Right, brother? You've been a preacher. But I'm not kissing anywhere I shouldn't kiss. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? You know what I'm talking about. I'm going to give you the truth if you don't like me at all. I'm going to tell you the way it is. Because I don't need your love. Now, if you want to give it to me, I won't turn it down. Thanks. Come on, we'll be buddies. Fine. But I'm not going to compromise anything I believe in to be a friend with you. And that's the way you should be. Come on, be something in life. Don't be dominated by your desires. Amen? People get to feel very inferior. They got low self-esteem. They feel they withdraw or they become very violent when they have all these needs and they can't satisfy them. Then they go to false stimulation. If they don't feel loved, you know what they do? Take a drug. Did you know a lot of times the reason why you take a drug? Because you're trying to stimulate something inside of you makes you feel okay. Because you take a drug, you feel good, don't you? Ooh, man, I feel good. Well, you better enjoy it while you can, because someday you're not going to feel so good. Drugs are okay. Yeah, I know. You're a scientist, aren't you? All the scientists in the world are wrong, and you're a Mr. Scientist. It's funny that some of these guys are on drugs, you know? They're so smart. Here we have all these scientists say that cooks your brain cells, blows out your heart, blows out your pancreas, and all these other things, messes up your liver big time. Because the liver has to purify and ready everything for the system. They're taking these drugs. You say, man, don't you know it's going to give them? Nah, it's okay. Well, Mr. Scientist, Mr. Chemist, boy, you're so smart. They look smart, don't they? Why do people take drugs? Because they're weaklings and pansies. Punks. I know, because I grew up around it. On the street, you say that, you get all kinds of fun. That's what I tell people in L.A. Punks take drugs. Still, you're a punk. I don't care how big you are. Why? Because they can't live successfully by intelligent ways. They got to mess with their health and take a drug to get high, to feel loved, feel okay. Did you know that? Got to puff on the weed? You got to puff on the weed because you can't make it without it. Hey, some of you smoke. I dare you. Go off cigarettes for a while. Brother David, you're off cigarettes about a week now. Have you been climbing walls a little bit? You know, you go off cigarettes, you start climbing walls, don't you? People worship the cigarette. They're real tough, man. Oh, my God, the cigarette. I cannot live without you. Holla, holla. Because if I don't have my God in my finger, between my fingers, then I'm gonna get irritable. I'm gonna be hard to live around. Isn't it true? Come on. Real tough people can quit it. People put their life together. Get happiness in right ways and don't get happiness in easy ways. Because it's not true happiness. It won't last. You know, when you get older, you're going to look it too. You know what I mean? You see people get all these wrinkles? Big wrinkles early? We're all going to get them someday. Because you get all these wrinkles because you're puffing on the weed. Because the stuff you take inside of you from that weed robs your cells from the nutrition, knocks it out. You prematurely age. You're old before your time. You say, amen? Why? Because we need these things. God can deliver you from these needs. God can deliver you from these needs. God can cause you not to need anything but be something valuable to somebody else. Be a winner. An encourager. To be something. Now I'm going to end up with this scripture. Let's turn to Ephesians 4:22. Here it says that you put off concerning your former behavior the old man or woman, which is corrupt according to your deceitful desires. Put off this old person that you used to be, that's all corrupt, all messed up emotionally. You see? Because of deceitful, deceiving desires that you have. All these desires to do what the world does. I said, put it off. And it goes on to say, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Come on, be in control of your life in Christ. And that you put on the new man, new person, which after God is renewed and doing things right, and unhurtfulness. Wherefore, put away, speak every man truth, put away lying. Stop lying, speak the truth. Don't you have the courage to tell the truth? Be angry, but don't sin while you're doing it. Sometimes it's justified reason to be angry, but be in control of it. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that steal no more. Let him labor and work with his hands, being something. Stop having corrupt communication come out of your mouth. People can't control their mouth. Do you think a cursing mouth is very beautiful? Do you think it speaks forth intelligence? The more intelligent a person is, the less they cuss. Did you know that? The poor people cuss more than the rich people that are intelligent. Now, they cuss too sometimes. I mean, don't get me wrong. But I've been around intelligent people and non-intelligent people, and you don't see very many real intelligent people out in the world that's really out in business and high up in school going around cussing as much as people who don't have no education. Because they can't think of a word to describe how they feel. All they can think is GD. SOB. F. MF. Boy, that's really good. SHIT. That's what you look like, too. Really, doesn't it? Okay, have you ever seen a person's mouth when they're cussing? Look at their face. Really? People go around, they're real cool. Man, I got a lot of IQ. My vocabulary is 102 words. And most of them are four letter. That's the truth. But you get around intelligent people, and they'll say intelligent ways to put you down. They got big, long words. You say, what's that? It's not good. They got intelligent ways to express themselves. They don't have to go around using these old little tiny words, the four-letter words. They use 26-letter words. Now, I'm kind of joking about it, but the truth of it is, what you're saying don't mean anything. You know? We know what I do when a person goes around cussing? You know what I visualize? Whatever they're cussing about. Someone says, H-H-I-T, and I admit, and it's going to come out of their mouth. That's how I broke it myself. Every time I'd say it, I'd imagine it coming out of my own mouth. That's what it is. Isn't it coming out of your mouth? If you say it, isn't it coming out of your mouth? So I used to imagine it coming out of my mouth. I stopped it. Well, come on. Use some intelligence. Express how you feel. I'm angry. I'm mad. I'd like to hit you in the mouth. But all this other stuff don't mean anything, does it? If you say GD someone, is that going to do anything? Is that truly going to happen? Is God going to damn that person because you say it? No way. You're just ignorant. You're just saying things that don't matter. You're just going around wasting your breath. But isn't that the way the world is? Isn't that the way Christians are? Some of you are done it, and you're feeling, you're hoping I don't know that you do it. That don't make me better than you, that I don't. But it sure makes me happier. I feel a lot better not going around doing it like I used to. But it says, come on, put all this filthy communication away. Amen? Let not bitterness and wrath and anger and evil speaking control you. Be kind to one another, understanding and forgiving. Boy, that just makes life better, doesn't it? A lot happier to do it. Be followers of God. Walk in love. It's in verse 2, chapter 5. But fornication, which means having sex outside of marriage, and all uncleanness means homosexuality, and all covetousness, let it not be named among you. It doesn't become you, is what it says here. Neither filthiness nor foolishness, foolish talking, nor jesting. People like to go around jesting and kidding all the time because they got anger inside of them. Hey, a good joke. I like a good joke. But when you put people down when you're joking, then you are. You're one of these people up here who's got all these desires. You're trying to put people down by your joking, hurting their feelings. I've done it. But you don't need to do that. Why not be an encourager instead of putting people down by the way you joke? Amen? Don't let anybody deceive you here, it says. Because this is the wrath of God is coming on people to do these things. The wrath of God. It's a shame even to speak of the things which people do in secret. Christians, we shouldn't even be talking about it. In God's eyes, it's filth. He hates it. And someday God is going to punish people, just like the cops punish the criminals. Sometimes the cops are the criminals, but in God's army, they're not. Just like the world punishes you and puts you in jail if you break their rules, God is going to punish you and put you in his jail if you break his rules. Well, I'll worry about that then. Yes, you will. I've heard people say that before when they're out stealing and doing things. I won't get caught. I'll worry about that then. Then they come back crying later on in prison, being used by some man's woman. Yeah. Then they cry. Oh, man, I can't stand behind bars. Been around 7 years, man. All my freedom's gone. Well, they should have thought of that when he's breaking the rules. And you better think about it now, because God does have a prison. The Bible's been right 2,894 times when it said things were going to happen before it happened. 2,894 times God prophesies the future in that book. I'm perfectly, not like some of these other prophets out there are partly right. He clearly prophesied the future, and he was right. He said the world was round when everybody else thought it was flat. God is right. The scriptures are right. And it says that you're going to be punished in a hell if you break his rules down here and don't get it right with him. And he says also your life is going to be a failure on this life if you don't do it right. How many believe he's right? And Christians, you can sin as a Christian with your attitudes and your rebellion as much as somebody else doing something else. Amen? So, what's the answer? What's the answer? Well, right before this chapter starts, it goes back up here and it talks about the church. It says, God has given us gifts. He's given us apostles. The prophets is verse 12 or 13, 11. Can't read it. 11. Of chapter 4. He's given us evangelists, and he's given us pastors, he's given us teachers, he's given us church. That's why you're here, Terry. That's why you're here, Darren. That's why you're here, Rob. Brother Stover, that's why you're here. God has given us a church. That's why you're here, Mary Kaufman. Because the church, every one of us has got something to offer, it says here. For the perfecting of the saints. What's perfecting? It means stop hurting each other. To get all of our hurtful behavior put away. So we all come in unity and in faith unto the perfect man. Everyone, the whole body, working together is what it says here in verse 16. Compacted by every gift you have. Every one of you has got something to offer. If you stop being a failure and find out what your gift and talent is and start giving it. Start being active. Get involved. Stop being a part of the problem. Be a part of the answer. Put away all this junk the Bible says doesn't do us any good. Start being an encourager. Go around and help people. Lift them up. Don't put them down in your jokes. Lift them up. You see? Teach them right. Don't go out there and be a bad example to them. Don't teach them how to die of cancer by smoking in front of them. Don't be critical, ugly. To be a warrior for Christ. Help. That's what the church is for. That's what the church is for. And in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, it says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Don't forsake going to church. Because if you sin willfully after you come to the knowledge of truth, there's no more sacrifice for your sin. But a certain fearful day of judgment. And a life of failure. Now, I'm going to end now. Getting real close. Most people in this room are going to end up failures. Unless you learn. Unless you learn. And let God change you. Most of you out there sitting here are not going to listen probably. And it's the odds. You're going to live like you've been living. And you're going to be the failure. You're going to be the loser. You're going to have the divorces. You're going to have kids grow up to break your heart. You're going to have health problems. Now, some health problems can't be avoided because they're genetic and things happen to you, like someone run over you or something like that. But a lot of health problems can be avoided. Most health problems come from stress and bad thinking and bad habits. Amen? So I want to know, which one of you are going to be successful? Which one of you are going to be social dropouts? Always griping and complaining and bringing someone else down. Breaking God's rules. Doing your own thing. And you're going to be the failures. You're going to be the people that get old quick. No one wants to be around you. You're going to waste your life. But some of you are going to dare to be successful. Some of you are going to dare to go the hard way and let God transform your life. Let God put discipline in your life. Let God put something good in you. I haven't given you all the answers tonight, but I wanted to get your attention. You're going to get the answers every time you come to church and every time you get with a Christian, every time you pray, every time you read that Bible and learn something about life, every time we get together and we share and we encourage each other and help each other, amen? We're going to be a team that's going to be strong and powerful, a support team. And then we're going to touch people all over this world that's ready for an answer. Some people won't receive an answer. Good, we'll pass them by. No big deal. but some out there are waiting. Because I've led about 2,000 of them to the Lord. And they were waiting for someone to give them an answer. And they did. And they received it. And now they're living successful lives. You've got to decide. Live unsuccessfully or successful. But don't be controlled by your desires. These desires lead to all other sin and problems and demands upon people. Confusion, frustrations, rebellion. These desires. Marital problems. Amen? Anybody don't have anything to say? Any questions, comments? Yes, Dan. These desires of their life get out of hand. They don't learn to live successfully. Most people have emotional problems too. Most people do. Yes, brother. They teach you patience, huh? Somebody else. Yes, brother. Well, put it this way. We should be all saints. The word saint means separated, sanctified, separated from the world. Not everybody really in practical reality are saints, but all Christians should be saints. Yes. Anybody else got anything to say? Any questions? Yes. A title. Okay. What? That's pretty good. What? Answer in this tape. Someone might listen to it. Yes, brother. Yeah, there's only one desire we should have. That's Christ. And then, after that, all desires that come from Him are His and not ours. That's right. Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that. I didn't mention about good desires. There's one desire you should have, and that's Christ. And then Christ, through you, will want things to be done. If I have a desire to witness to someone, I have a desire to love someone, I have a desire to do something, that comes from Him through me, and it's pure, and it's unhurtful. And it's unhurtful to me and unhurtful to them, and it won't get me in trouble. And it's something that I don't feel out of control over. You see? Amen? Boy, I can't wait for a few more years until we have more happen to us like we have in Alaska and different places. We got these bands, these rock bands going all over, country western bands, gospel western bands, I mean. And all these sopranos and all these street witnessers out there and people helping all aspects of life, our legal people. Isn't it going to be exciting? Are you going to be there? And we need someone here to keep our church going here. Somebody said, I don't want to go anyplace. Good, God called you to be right here. We're going to keep this going too. Don't feel like you're going to be left behind. You're going to be keeping the home fort solid. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Praise God.